What is the connection between astrology and the hidden codes in the Bible? Well, astrotheologist and author Micah Dank will join us today to talk about his new series, Into the Rabbit Hole, in the first book, Into the Veil, which explores astrotheology, astrology, and the hidden codes in the Bible. And he'll explain how it relates to what is real and what is possible related to politics, conspiracy, fringe medicine, history, language, and what it means to survive in these times. I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Please welcome to the Truth Be Told studios for the first time, author Micah Dank.
Hey, Micah.
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm very excited to show you this.
I'm excited too, because this is something we've touched on before, but we haven't got into deep details about this. And first of all, let's start off with, what is astrotheology, just for those people that may not know exactly what that is?
Astrotheology, the best way that I can sum it up, you know how like the Greeks and the Romans, they had their own gods and goddesses,
right,
that were based on planets and stars and everything. This is our version of it. Okay. This is basically not the modern day, but within the last 4,000 years modern. This is the mythology around the zodiac signs.
Got it.
So when I tell you sign like Aquarius, that's the man pouring out the water from the water pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
It's the story behind that, and they're key words that you have to look for in order to know how to decode it properly in the Bible. I've put together a presentation for you. And before I start, I just want to say that my work is heavily influenced by Jordan Maxwell, who I know you guys have had on before.
I love Jordan. He's one of the most amazing men.
He's one of my heroes, and so is Santos Bonocci. I don't know if you know who he is or have ever heard of him.
I've heard of him, but I don't know.
Another one.
My
work is based on them, but I go in a different direction. I basically decode Bible phrases using astrotheology.
This should be interesting. I love it. Well, tell us what the presentation. We're going to be talking about your presentation, so tell us kind of how the presentation flows, so we can kind of get.
Flow is basically like this. I'm going to explain the beginnings of how far back we know astrology goes.
Right.
Then I'm going to give you a couple of questions that don't really make sense in the Bible regarding Jesus.
Right.
Because the main theme here is that Jesus is the Son, S-U-N of God, not the S-O-N. It's a play on words. And it's basically an anthropomorphic astrotheological character of the sun. It's basically solar worship. That's what Jesus is.
Right.
Much like Horus was. I'm going to make a case for it too, and I'm going to show you how deep the Bible verses go and how deep it goes. It's really cool.
I love it.
So that's basically it. Then I'll go through the 12 signs. And I'll explain the keywords that you need to know for each sign. Okay?
Okay.
And if you don't catch them all right away, that's fine, because I'll explain them to you as they go along. I'll bring them back up. And then we're going to go into some Bible verses. And then we're going to go into some longer passages. And then we're going to go into the book of Matthew. And then I'm going to show you how astrology still plays a part in major world affairs. My book series, you said Into the Veil. It's actually Beneath the Veil is the first book, but that's fine. My book series talks about a world which is run by people who use astrology against the masses, which is what I believe people do. The elites do, I should say.
Right. So where did you find, I know you said Jordan Maxwell and this other gentleman that kind of gave you that motivation to really do the research. But what was your own path? How did you get to that point to want to understand these passages and how the astrology and everything were connected?
I was raised religious.
Okay.
It was forced on me, and I never took to it. I never believed it as it was shoved down my throat.
Right.
And it was really shoved down my throat, you know? So I basically, for 25 years, I made it a purpose to look for answers and to be able to explain the Bible and explain verses and things of that nature logically with a flow. Okay. I wanted to actually, you have your atheist versus Christian debate, and then it's mostly just the atheist making rational debates about this and talking about talking donkeys and this and that. But there's no end game to that. There's no proof. There's no explanation beyond that. It's just them going, how could you believe something so dumb? You know, whereas what I do is I decode these Bible phrases and I show them how it's all astrotheology.
Got it. And by the way, just so you know, I did say Into the Veil, but it is Beneath the Veil. So that's the book, and it's on Amazon. So you guys can go ahead and, you know, get that book if you guys are interested in
that's
it.
That's the first out of six books. That's the first out of six books.
Six my other, books. That's great.
My last one, I have five out right now. My last book is coming out, I would say, 3-4 weeks.
Great. And what's the title?
The final type. The whole series is called Into the Rabbit Hole.
Right.
That's what I basically take people down is rabbit holes.
Right. And I'm sure we're gonna dive right into one now. So, well, let's go ahead and get started. Let's pop this into the I'm going to show this book, but we're going to switch over to the astrotheology
in the Bible.
There you go.
And that's the zodiac wheel at the bottom. Okay?
Right here.
Now, if this was a proper zodiac wheel in perfect alignment, Aries would be on the left and Libra would be on the right.
Right.
So this is kind of off-kilter a little bit, but this is a good zodiac sign. And it's just this is the mythology of all these signs. So if you go to the next slide, I'm going to talk about the Lascaux Caves, which are 40,000 years ago. And what the Lascaux Caves are they're caves in Lascaux, France. Okay? Mm-hmm. And what those caves are, they're in Lascaux, France. That's why they're called the Lascaux Caves. And what happened was people found them and went deep into them. And then when they came across the back, like the very back walls, they came across things like this. This is the bull, which we know is Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Okay, so let me go back down there. Oh man, that's amazing.
Yeah, you can show that picture. So up on the left, you have the bull, which is Taurus. To the right is the lion, Leo. Bottom is horse. That's Sagittarius.
That's
now the interesting thing is what they did was they found all these animal drawings on there, and what they did is they brought in a scientist and an astronomer and an astrologer with a computer in modern days. Because we have the technology to do this. And what they did was they first carbon dated the wall,
right,
which came out to, I think, 40,000 years plus or minus 5,000 years.
Wow.
What they then did was they rewound the sky back from their location from where they were 40,000 years. And what they did was when they printed out where the stars were located, they found out that where all these were etched is exactly where the constellations were.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had a working knowledge of the zodiac for 40,000 years. In fact, that particular cave that they found this in, it turns out that on June 21st, which is the summer solstice, the sunlight actually goes into the cave and illuminates off the back wall. It's the only day that does that.
Oh, that's great. That is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Now, the carvings are just amazing. And the artistic value of the history is just, I can't wait. I want to go see it. Have you been there live? Have you seen that in person?
I have not. My mother lives in France, though. I'm thinking of going there.
Oh, my God. You should. That's just crazy. All right. Well, then what's this here?
So we can go to the next slide. So there's some questions that you can ask in the Bible. How Jesus was able to heal the blind, how he walked on water, how he turned water into wine, why he had 12 disciples, why he was betrayed with a kiss by Judas, why he was dead for 3 days, why is his birthday on December 25th. All these are questions that not only don't make sense if you're thinking about them literally, but make complete sense if you understand the astrology behind that, and we're going to explain this. So if you go to the next slide.
Okay.
Genesis 1:14, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. And that's basically what the Bible is. My contention is the Bible is an encoded farmer's almanac, because you have to understand is we'll get into that a little bit later, but that's basically what it is. So if you go to the next slide. This is Aquarius. We're going to go through the 12 signs now. So the first sign is Aquarius, which is represented by the man with the water pitcher. And under it, I have the story of Zeus and Aquarius. So the story of Aquarius actually goes back to the Greeks. Zeus saw a 14-year-old boy on Earth who he thought was beautiful and wanted to bring him up into heaven. However, his father didn't want him to. So what Zeus ended up doing was giving his father a bunch of livestock, and he made him very wealthy, and then he brought the boy up. The boy up in heaven used to serve people out of that water pitcher, something called ambrosia, which was the nectar of the gods, which the gods used to drink. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now we just have it as a fruit salad with whipped cream.
Right.
But that's basically what it was. It was ambrosia. That's the drink of the gods. And eventually he got pissed because he didn't want to be up there anymore. So one day he had this water pitcher and he went over to the side of heaven and poured it out, just like it shows in the picture.
Right.
And what basically happened was Zeus was so mad at him that he was going to punish him, but he self-reflected and realized that he kind of pushed this boy into this life that he didn't want. So instead of punishing him, he immortalized him as the sign Aquarius. Okay, so that's the story behind Aquarius. So scroll down a little bit more. No, I need that sign. I need that. So whenever you see Son of Man.
Yeah, man, for some reason it cut it off for some reason.
It's fine. Whenever you see the word Son of Man, man, baptism, pitcher, water pitcher, stream, river, water, things of that nature, fountain, for example, and baptism, because the man with the water pitcher, this is how you baptize someone.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Whenever you hear those keywords, they're talking about Aquarius. So if you go to the next sign.
Pisces.
Pisces is the sign of the two fish in the water. So whenever you hear Leviathan, fish, or water, they're talking about Pisces. So you can go to the next slide. This is Aries. Aries is the ram. And in Aries, you have March 21st, which is the spring equinox. It's a 12-hour day. It's a 12-hour night. It's also the Passover. So in the Jewish religion, in the Passover is literally God passing over all the Egyptian houses and smiting the firstborn children that don't have the lamb's blood, or Aries, the ram, blood over their door, because the Jews are the people of Aries. Whereas we're the people of Aquarius right now. We were just in Pisces. In astro theology, the Passover is literally that. The sun passes over the equator and starts its way back up to the Titan, the summer solstice. Now, in Christianity, the passing over is changed, and it's called the resurrection of God's Son. So you have the Passover in Judaism, and you have the resurrection in Christianity. Easter and Passover are both in Aries. So whenever you hear ram, lamb, shepherd, ram's horn, Jewish people, they're always talking about Aries.
Nice. All right, we got Taurus.
Next, Taurus is the bull. And the reason it's the bull is because when you look in the sky and you see the bull, you know that on Earth you have to put the plow on the bull. Now, we have equipment nowadays.
Right.
We don't use bulls. But in the ancient times, that's how they plowed the land, is they put the plow on the bull. Okay? So whenever you see the bull in the sky, okay, in the right place, you have to put the plow on the bull. So you can plant the seed so you can harvest in Virgo and Libra. So whenever you hear bull, ox, calf, cow, okay, because a cow is a female bull, you're talking about Taurus. So next slide.
Gemini.
Gemini is the twins. Story of Castor and Pollux Troy. Remember those names. Whose sister was Helen of Troy. It's the story of Achilles. So it's the Greek sign. So what's interesting is that the first two human signs of the zodiac, Aquarius and Gemini, the rest are animals. The first two human signs, they come from the Greeks. Okay, so whenever you hear the words twins or brothers, they're talking about Gemini.
Okay, so we got Cancer.
Now, Cancer is the crab, and it's the sideways moving creature. So what happens is the sun rises a degree on its axis starting on December 25th. The next day, it'll rise an additional degree. The days get longer, the nights get shorter. Rises an additional degree the next day. It rises a degree every single day until it hits June 21st, which is the summer solstice. Then once it hits the summer solstice, it's the longest day of the year and the shortest night. Then for three consecutive days, it rises to the same degree. So technically it walks sideways. It's a metaphor. Then on June 25th, it lowers a degree. And then every consecutive day, it lowers an additional degree. And then when it hits December 21st, okay, the sun doesn't even rise above the horizon. Okay. That's the winter solstice. That's the longest night of the year.
Right.
So the ancients used to say that God's sun was dead. Then just like it walked 3 days sideways up top, it walks 3 days sideways down below. And that's why they used to say God's son was dead for 3 days. That's where that comes from. Now the crab, okay, is the modern day, Cancer. Okay. But in the ancient Egyptian times in the zodiac, it was known as the scarab, which was the beetle. That's why St. Augustine called Jesus the good beetle.
Oh, really? I did not know that one.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We have the king of the jungle.
Leo. Leo is the king, the lion, the king of the jungle. The ruling planet of Leo is actually the sun. Okay? So whenever you hear lion, lioness, or cub, they're talking about Leo. When they're talking about the kingdom of heaven is near, the kingdom of heaven is the sun in Leo, because that's its rightful home. So when the sun is actually in Leo, it's home, the kingdom. So the next sign would be Virgo.
There we go.
Virgo is the woman holding the weed stalk, as you can see on the right. Remember before when we said that you plant in Taurus?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is the reason it's a virgin holding a weed stalk is because in Virgo, the virgins would come out and cultivate the wheat in Virgo to make the bread for the year. So whenever you hear virgin, woman, wheat, grain, seed, barley, things of that nature, grain things, they're talking about Virgo.
All right. Libra.
Then Libra is the justice. It's the scales. It's the balance. It's the just one. The reason it's the justice is because it judges God's sun as it passes over the fall equinox and begins its descent into winter, into cold, into death. Now, do you remember how in when it goes over the equinox in the spring, it's the Passover, it's celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
Here, it's mourned because it's being sentenced to death.
Hmm.
Okay? Right. So Libra, anytime you hear the word, scroll down a little.
It cuts off.
Anytime you hear the words justice or judge or judgment or things of that nature, law, tax, things of law, lawly nature, judging, mm-hmm. things of that nature, they're talking about Libra. Libra is also wine and olive oil season.
You press
the wine in Libra, you press the olives in Libra. So anytime you hear wine, vineyard, vine, you're talking about that. And anytime you hear olive or oil, you're talking about Libra. So you can go to the next sign.
All right, Scorpio.
Scorpio is the scorpion, and he is known as the betrayer. When a scorpion bites you, it leaves an imprint in your skin that looks like a pair of lips. It's why the mafia has the kiss of death to this day.
Mm-hmm.
The ancients knew this, and it's why Jesus was betrayed by Judas with a kiss. Judas could have pointed him out in the crowd. He could have signaled to him. He could have waved. He could have thrown a rock at him. But he betrayed him with a kiss because Judas is the betrayer. Each one of the disciples is a zodiac sign, okay? And Judas happens to be Scorpio, the betrayer. So the sun is judged in Libra, right? And it's betrayed in Scorpio. And then finally in Sagittarius, this is where the bow and the arrow, scroll down.
That's mine, Zodiac.
This is where the bow and the arrow shoot the sun and inflict further punishment on the sun. And I've mentioned December 21st is the death date.
Right.
So anytime there's a death in the Bible, they're talking about Sagittarius, the 21st, and they back that up. They explain that too. Now, the sun rises again. It's born again. It comes back to life December 25th. It rises a degree. That's why it's always celebrated. That's why Mithra. That's why Tammuz. That's why Horus. That's why Osiris. That's why Dagon. That's why all these ancient gods. That's why Jesus. They're all born on December 25th.
That's great.
Because that's the day that the sun is born. So anytime you hear horse, bow and arrow, spear, or horseman, they're talking about Sagittarius. So you can go to the next one.
All right. Capri.
Capricorn. It's the goat because he likes to climb the mountain. Now picture the zodiac wheel with Capricorn at the bottom of it. Picture the sun walking alongside the axis of the zodiac wheel. It climbs a degree a day every day. It starts to climb up the mountain. Just like the goat. The mountain goats climb the mountain better than anybody. You ever seen one on like a 2-inch ledge?
Oh my God, yeah. Makes me
nervous. That's why it's a metaphor. So those are the 12 signs, and I'm going to go over the keywords within them. I'm going to drill them into your guys' heads. Just want to know what you think so far.
I mean, this is great because, like I said, I've had many people. Oh, you changed a whole. Oh, you moved outside. I was like, you moved. it's great. I love how you broke this down, and I love how you intertwine not just the astrology but also with the Bible. So you're explaining how it connects with the Bible, not just, you know, mm-hmm. the stars itself. So far, great. But how can one, let's say an astrologer, and can astrologer actually look in the Bible and decipher things by, like you said, by just the terms, the words itself?
Absolutely. If we keep going, I'm going to show you how that works.
Oh, such a tease. Let's do it. All right. So here we go. We're going to go back over here. Let's see. We have the name of Jesus. Name for Jesus.
Names for Jesus. Now, Jesus is the sun, S-U-N. When the sun is in Capricorn, the sign of the goat, in church, he's called the scapegoat of Israel.
Right.
When the sun is in the man sign Aquarius, he's known as the son of man. These are all names for Jesus given by the church, and nobody knows any different. When the sun is in Pisces, the two fish, he's known as the fisherman of men. It's also why he could feed the masses with two fish. When the sun is in Aries, the ram, he's known as the lamb of God or the good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When the sun is in Leo, he's the lion of Judah. And the son, the holding the lady holding the stalk of wheat, Virgo, he's born of a virgin. The gods are always born of a virgin. And he's called the bread of life, the virgin with the wheat stalk. Libra's the scales of justice. He's known as the just one. He's betrayed in Scorpio. He dies in Sagittarius on December 21st. And it's also why he's worshipped on the Sun Day. Whereas Jews worship on the Saturday or the Saturn Day, because the right. ancient Jewish religion goes back to Saturnalia. Now, you look at this picture of Jesus on the left. This is a stereotypical picture that I just plucked off the internet, okay?
Right.
You're going to see four things. You're going to see the sun behind his head, mm-hmm. two fingers up, the heart, and the crown of thorns. So mm-hmm. if you go to the next slide, the sun is always behind Jesus because he represents the sun. You can look at hieroglyphs of Horus. It's the same thing, okay? The sun will always be behind Jesus' head. Sometimes there'll be a cross in it, but there's always the sun. The two fingers up are an ancient Kemetic peace sign. That's an ancient Egyptian peace sign. That is the ancient peace sign. The separate sign, the John Lennon peace sign, okay, that's mm-hmm. the British Victory War sign, okay? The fingers are separate. It's a separation, okay? However, the two fingers together are peaceful. That's why you'll see statues of Baphomet. You'll see statues of Jesus. You'll see statues of Mary. You'll see statues of Baphomet, like I said, of the devil, mm-hmm. okay? They always have two fingers up because they're telling you they're peaceful. You just don't realize it. Now, the white Jesus picture, his head, his face, is actually Caesar Borgia, who was the bastard son of Pope Alexander VI. Rodrigo Borgia, who became Pope Alexander VI, had a child because, I mean, they're all bastard sons. Popes used to have kids. They just were never married.
Right.
Okay? Now, Pope Alexander VI was Pope in the mid-1500s. You know what else happened in the mid-1500s?
Do tell.
The printing press came out.
Ah.
Okay, so the printing press came out. So before then, it wasn't like with Muhammad, where you're just not allowed to draw him.
Right.
There was just no picture for Jesus. This pope decided his son would be the face of. And if you're bored, you can Google or Wikipedia Caesar Borgia, you'll see it's the same face. Okay? Now, the crown of thorns wrapped around the heart on the outside, okay, it represents the rays of the sun. Okay? Jesus had the crown of thorns on his head. That's the rays of the sun. Okay? The heart is always on the outside. That represents the human toroidal field. Are you familiar with that?
I am not. So keep telling me about it. Because like I said, I find it fascinating that every symbol, every almost like hair on his head, it's almost like a metaphor or a symbolism of something. And I appreciate the way you're breaking it down.
Thank you. Okay. So the heart outside represents the human torus field. And the toroidal field is an electromagnetic chemical gradient that sticks out of your heart 6 feet. Okay? If you were to map it out, it kind of looks like an apple core. It kind of looks like an apple, just the way that it moves. You ever have somebody come up behind you and you just know they're there?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
That's because they broke your toroidal field. It doesn't mean that you're a witch or you have any magic powers. They just broke your toroidal field.
That's why
the elites right now are trying to keep everybody 6 feet apart.
Oh, good. Okay?
Because if you keep someone 6 feet apart, then their hearts can't interact with one another and they can't feed off each other.
Makes sense.
So if we go to the next slide.
Okay. Proverbs 16:18.
Proverbs 16:18. You've heard of the phrase pride comes before the fall?
Yep, I have.
Can you explain it?
I can't explain it, but you're doing much better than I would even attempt to.
Okay. This is taken – I like to bring people into it, but if you want me to just go, I'll go. This is taken to mean that your ego will be your downfall. That's a very common religious explanation. However, a group of lions is called the pride also. Pride is the lion. Lion is Leo. Leo is in July, August. That comes before the fall. Does that make sense?
Well, it actually makes sense because I've actually interviewed many people about even Atlantis – how they feel that even though that they were very advanced, their egos got in the way, which helped destroy their civilization.
Well, that's what Edgar Casey talks about. Casey talks about how Atlantis fell into the sea, much like Plato described it in his book. Talked about it because they overcharged the crystals.
Yep.
Now, it's interesting, not to get too far off topic, but the crystals, okay? We recently, in the last 15 years, learned how to embed a movie and a couple Word documents into a crystal and extract them and play them and use them.
You're right.
Okay. Crystals. Right. Okay. You think a terabyte drive that looks like a thumbstick is going to hold a lot of information? You have no idea. Compared to crystals, crystals are going to be the new computer technology.
Wow.
And they're an ancient science that we're relearning right now. And they allude to it. In Superman, you had the cave of the crystals. Mm-hmm. They allude to this stuff. You know, they show you this before it actually happens. It's a revelation of the method.
Oh, Hollywood always gives us a lot of information way in advance, usually.
Right, and I'm going to tell you about that at the end because I've got a couple Hollywood things. I got
a music video. Perfect.
And I've got a movie that I want to show you how astrology has been embedded into it. But you can go to the next one.
Okay. Micah.
This is from the book of Micah. Okay? That's my namesake, by the way. Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. However, Bethlehem in Hebrew is actually a combination of two words. It's Bet, which means house, and Lechem, which means bread. So it's the house of bread. Each zodiac sign is called a house. So it's the house of Virgo, the house of Aquarius. And sometimes they're called mansions.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible, it says, in my father's house, there are many mansions. This is Virgo with the wheat stalk is the house of bread, the virgin. So the savior will come from a virgin. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Okay. So go to the next one. Okay. But wait, before you do that, the next one I've already highlighted. I've already highlighted in it. The words that you're going to see, but you're going to see 8 or 10 different zodiac signs mixed into this.
Okay. Okay.
With the key words that I gave you. So go to the next one.
All right.
Deuteronomy 32. He gave them honey from the cliffs and olive oil from the rocky ground. Olive oil is in Libra, remember?
Mm-hmm.
He gave people butter from the herd and milk from the flock. He gave them lambs, which is Aries, and goats. Goat is Capricorn. They had the best rams, which is Aries, from Bashan, and the finest wheat, Virgo with the wheat stalk. They drank the best wine made from the juice of red grapes. That's Libra, wine season. But Jeshurun became fat and kicked like a bull. That's Taurus. Do you see how this works?
I do see it now. I mean, if I would have read that on my own, I probably would have never even acknowledged that at all. So,
right. Now, he gave them honey from the cliffs. In the sign Cancer, there's a group of stars called the Beehive Cluster. It's an asterisk. That's where the honey comes from, metaphorically. Now, he gave his people butter from the herd and milk from the flock. That's milk-based. That comes from the Milky Way galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Still with me?
Yep, I'm still with you.
Okay, so now, the honey, okay, is in Cancer. The center of the Milky Way galaxy is in Sagittarius. So your land from Cancer to Sagittarius in the heavens, that's the true land of milk and honey. It's not a literal place. It's in the heavens.
Okay, that's funny. Okay, I love it.
And here's how they decode. Now, I've given you a zodiac wheel on the left that's properly aligned. Aries on the left and Libra on the right.
Right.
In fact, I should probably take this and put it on the first page. I think I'm going to do that. But anyway, so this is how it's decoded. Now, what you have to understand is that when you're talking about a sign covertly, the next phrase that you're going to use is either going to be its opposite sign, its opposing sign, or its neighboring sign. Those are the two most powerful signs that a sign has. That's also how you know that this was done literally. And I'm going to give you a light decoding right now because they're going to get more complicated. But don't worry, you'll follow.
Okay.
So Jesus led his disciples to the Mount of Olives after his last Passover so he could teach them a few more things. Pray, then wait for Judas to betray him. While walking to the Mount of Olives, he gave the parable of the true vine. So Passover takes place in Aries, as I've mentioned, right?
Right.
Where right after that, he walks to the Mount of Olives. Olives are in Libra. So look at where Aries and Libra are. They're opposing signs.
Yep, right across
from
each other.
So he walks from Aries to Libra. Then while in Libra, he's waiting for Judas to betray him. And that happens in Scorpio, which is the next sign over from Libra. So you go across the wheel and then over one. Now they're still in Libra waiting for him to betray him. While there, he gives the parable of a true vine. Or vineyard, or wine press, or Libra, however you want to do it.
Right.
So you see how that works? You see how
I do see it. Now, I don't know if they can see my cursor. So it's right across from each other. And then what's the one?
Then Scorpio is the betrayer. It's the next one over.
I can't see. My eyes are so bad.
So go across and then go down one.
There it is.
But they're still in Libra. Remember, they're just waiting for the betrayal.
Right. Got
it. So while they're there, he gives the parable of the true vine. Well, now we went over this already. We said that vineyard, wine, vines.
Right.
That's all. And for anybody that doesn't know this, if you've ever been to a vineyard, okay, for the women who've ever been to a vineyard with their girls and they do the bicycle route or you just go get drunk with a couple of girls, people tend to go in the spring. Well, if you go in the spring, you'll find that the fruit is bare, okay? It's raw. There's no leaves. There's no shrubbery, really.
Mm-hmm.
The best time to go is in September, October in Libra. Because you can literally walk through the lush fields and pluck the grapes and eat them. Okay, so that's why he was. And there's plenty of allusions in the Bible to when the proper time is. Now, you might be asking, what's the point of this? Well, the point of this is basically they encoded this kind of information in here for a couple of reasons. Number one, the people that wrote the Bible. Number one, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Okay?
Right.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And people with sacred knowledge, they abuse it. So they had to write these in. Jesus speaks in parables. These are parables under the parables. Okay? This is like a triple entendre right here. That's what they basically wrote. And the reason they did that is because they had to tell you things like the plow. You know, if you didn't plow in Taurus when you saw the sign, you got to remember, these are ancient people.
Yeah.
Okay? If they didn't plow then, they weren't going to eat at the end of the year. And that's even worse because they were going to starve in the winter.
Right.
They wouldn't have enough food to survive.
Well, before we get back, I just want to ask this quick question, because before we get back to I have a question from the chat room. I call on my co-host, and I want to, and it kind of stood out to me because we're talking about the Bible, Christianity, and there was a question that says, does astrotheology apply to those who don't prescribe to Christianity? How does one that's not a Christian, you know, use this knowledge?
Well, this wasn't made for Christians. You have to understand is that there were two major points in the last 2,000 years. One was in 325 AD, Constantine united everybody under literal Christianity.
Right.
Okay. Now, whether it was on his deathbed he was baptized, or whether it was he did it on purpose, that's kind of up in the air. You know, there's competing ideas on both sides. However, what is for sure is that he made it a literal religion. Okay, there were a lot of competing religions around that time. Now, the interesting thing, too, is that before 325 AD, Christians were actually called Heliognostics. And if you break that word down, Helios means sun, and Gnostics is knowers. They were sun worshippers, just like the Egyptians were, just like the Sumerians were, just like the Babylonians were. I mean, I've decoded the Enuma Elish the same way that I'm decoding this right now. That's the Babylonian creation story. It's not even a biblical text.
Interesting.
That was it. Now, in the year 100 AD, if you go back even further, they had something called the Council of Jamnia. And the Council of Jamnia was basically in Jamnia, Israel. It was a bunch of rabbis and politicians. And what they did was, in 100 AD, believe it or not, the Old Testament wasn't canonized. So for about 3,000 years, the books were in order. So they had to put the books in order. Okay. Now, an interesting thing is that 30 years prior to the Council of Jamnia, there was a little gospel that came out called the Book of Mark. It's the oldest gospel. It came out in 70 AD, right around the time that the Second Temple burnt down.
Right.
Or got sacked. Okay. Josephus writes about it. And then what you'll find is that they debated during the Council of Jamnia whether to include the Book of Mark into the Old Testament or whether to start a new religion with it.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay, so you don't have to be a Christian to have this apply. In fact, most Christians will deny this. And I'm going to explain why at the end. Most Christians and Catholics.
Okay.
I have a slide on that. I explain why they deny it.
All right. Well, let's get back to the slide. You put a lot of energy and effort into the slide, so I really appreciate that. We're going to Revelation 4.7.
Revelation 4.7, yes.
Revelation.
The first living creature was like a lion. Sound the like second Trump. Was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Okay, so go down.
Okay.
The first living creature was like a lion. That's Leo. The second was like an ox. That's Taurus. The third had a face like a man. That's Aquarius. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Okay. Now, in astrology, the scorpion is the belly-crawling creature.
Mm-hmm.
It's known as the lowest form of life on Earth because it slithers on its belly. Much like God made the snake slither on his belly after the deception in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
Now, in astrology, the evolved form of the Scorpio is the eagle, who's the highest flying form of life on Earth. Nothing flies higher than the eagle. The eagle evolves again and becomes the phoenix. Now, what is the phoenix? The phoenix is Jesus as the sun, or it's the sun. It's a flaming ball that dies
from the ashes
and then is reborn from its ashes. Just like the sun dies for 3 days and then it comes back to life. So the eagle equals Scorpio. Leo, Taurus, Aquarius, Scorpio are the four fixed signs of the zodiac. Now go to the next slide real quick.
Okay.
Lion, Leo, man, Aquarius, those are opposing signs. Ox, Taurus, eagle, Scorpio, those are opposing signs. You can follow this on the wheel that I made on the left here. It makes an X through the wheel. And these are the four fixed signs of the zodiac. You have things like cardinal signs, immutable signs, which I'm not going to get into right now.
Right.
But the fixed signs are called fixed signs because they're fixed in their season. Leo is the dead of summer. Aquarius is the dead of winter. Taurus is the dead of spring. And Scorpio is the dead of fall.
All right. Revelation 12.
So a lot of people have heard this one. This is the woman and dragon. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth.
Okay. There you go, Revelation 12 explanation.
A woman clothed with the sun is a sun metaphorically in Virgo, or actually in Virgo. Clothed is the metaphor, get it?
Mm-hmm.
Clothed or housed or located, you know, you can substitute words. But when the woman is clothed with the sun, that's the sun in the sun and the sign of woman, right?
Okay.
Now, if the sun is in Virgo, the moon will be at her feet. So the zodiac is 12 signs. There's a 24-hour day clock. So the sun stays in each sign for 2 hours a day. Make sense?
Makes sense, yep.
So now if the sun is in Virgo, that's between 4 and 6 p.m. That's still the daytime. The sun is still out.
Right.
So if the sun is out, the moon will be at her feet.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Yep.
Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous dragon. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. Now the constellation Draco on the left is the dragon. Okay, the Chinese have a dragon in their zodiac too. Okay? It's not in the zodiac, but it's a constellation in modern day astrology. Now, its tail goes from Aries to Sagittarius, which is 4/12 of the sign, or 1/3 of the stars out of the sky. So it's all just star poetry. This is all just encoding information,
wow.
The sacred information, telling you how long the tail of Draco is, where to locate it. Make sense?
Oh, it makes total sense, yeah. And that's a beautiful sign right there.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going. So I've given examples of astrotheology in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. I've been accused of cherry-picking verses from the Bible to prove a point. So let's take a much longer passage and see if we can decode it as well. Are you familiar with the book of Job?
I mean, of course I've heard, but I'm not familiar with it, no.
Job was a righteous man. Job was a righteous man who had everything. He had land, he had animals, he had family, he had money. Satan goes to God. If you take away his... basically all his stuff, he will curse you. God takes the bet and says, you could do anything you want to him, but you can't take his life. So Satan starts removing things. His animals run away. His family gets sick and die. Finally, Job cries out to God, and God actually replies to him. This is the word of God, supposedly, okay, that he says. Now, the first thing he says is, can you lead forth the Maseroth? Now, the Maseroth is literally the zodiac. The Maseroth translates to zodiac. So his first thing he asks before anything is, do you know your zodiac? Maseroth over time becomes Mazalot, which survives in Judaism today as Mazel Tov, which means good fortune from the stars. And you know how old Mazel Tov is. So you can only imagine how old the word Maseroth is.
I bet. I use it all the time.
What is the Lord's challenge to Job? He says, can you bind the chains of the Pleiades? Can you loosen Orion's belt? Now, those are obvious talking about stars, right? Hello?
Oh, sorry. I lost you there for a second.
No, he said, can you bind the chains of the Pleiades? Can you loosen Orion's belt? Those are obviously talking about stars and constellations, right?
Right.
Bind the chains, loosen Orion's belt. Those are metaphors.
Right.
Can you bring forth the constellation in their season or lead out the bear with its cubs? Now, the constellations are the zodiac above, and the bear and its cubs are Ursa Major, the Great Bear, and Ursa Minor, part of the Big Dipper. Who can tip over the water jars of the heavens? That's Aquarius. The man with the water pitcher. Do you hunt the prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of the lions? That's Leo.
Nice. Yep.
Keep going. Who provides food for the raven? That's the constellation Corvus, which means raven and borders on Virgo. Do you watch where the doe bears her fawn? That's Meriga, meaning deer, and is located in Orion. Who let the wild donkey go free? That's Acellus Borealis, meaning donkey, and is located in Cancer. Will the wild ox consent to serve you? That's Taurus. You see where this is going, right?
I see it. Yeah.
And the wings of the ostrich flap joyfully. That's Lambda Aquilae or Al-Thaliman, which means two ostriches in Arabic. Do you give the horse its strength? It laughs at fear, afraid of nothing. It does not shy away from the sword. The quiver rattles against its side along. Keep going. along with the...
I think it gets cut off.
Oh.
Yeah, for some reason.
Hold on a sec. Let me just get to it, because I have it pulled up, too.
You got it. Yeah. And if anybody in the chat room wants to ask any questions, please throw them in the chat room, and we'll ask Micah directly.
So he says, does you give the horse its strength? It laughs at fear, afraid of nothing. It does not shy away from the sword. The quiver rattles against its side, along with the flashing spear and lance. That's Sagittarius with the bow and the arrow. Does the eagle soar at your command and build its nest on high? That's Aquila, which is a Latin name for eagle and is a constellation a few degrees above the celestial equator. Finally, he says, can you pull in Lavethian with a fish hook? And that's the fish god, so that's Pisces. So you can see how basically all his questions are just covertly hiding all these different stars that they were aware of.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, this is God's answer to Job. Now, how Jesus was able to heal the blind. These are the questions from before. How Jesus was able to heal the blind. Well, if he's the S-O-N of God, if he's living flesh, the man comes up to him. He can't see. Jesus puts his fingers over his eyes and suddenly he can see. However, the sun, S-U-N, does the same exact thing. When it's dark out, we lose the sight. Okay. Then when the sun comes up in the morning and it touches your eyes, you can see. How he walked on water. Have you ever seen a sunset on a lake before?
I have.
You see how the sun walks on water, right?
Right, yeah.
How he turned water into wine. So do you know why God is considered a man and Mother Earth is considered a woman? Why it's always been that way?
Why is that?
It has to do with God's sacred fluid, okay? In Hebrew, the word is shemen. We get the word semen from it. It's a sacred fluid. God's sacred fluid comes down from heaven and impregnates Mother Earth, and from her belly, grass and trees and plants and food and fruit grow. Okay? That's why she's considered a woman and he's considered a man.
That makes sense.
So, in Taurus, the bull, you got a plow. April showers bring May flowers. It rains and rains and rains, and then it continues to rain throughout the months until you get to Libra, and then it's raining, and then you pull the grapes, and then you press them into wine. That's how you turn God's water into wine.
I want some wine.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense. I wish I could turn my water into wine right now.
Why he had 12 disciples, I went over this.
Yeah.
Why he betrayed with a kiss by Judas, I went over this. Now, I've given you an example of the 12 disciples, Judas being Scorpio. I'll give you one more.
Okay.
You familiar with Simon Peter?
Simon Peter. Remind me
So Simon Peter... Simon was one of his disciples, and he was a fisherman, and Jesus called him Peter, right? I mean, now, do you know, I mean, I'm not going to lie, you know, my name is Micah, sometimes people call me Mike, you know,
right.
But Simon and Peter, those names don't go together, you know, it's not a nickname, it doesn't make any sense, unless you know astrology.
Right.
Simon was a fisherman, so a fisherman, that takes you to the sign of Pisces, the two fish. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Okay. Now, do you know what the ruling planet of Pisces is?
Say that one more time.
The ruling planet of Pisces?
I don't know.
It's Jupiter or Jupiter.
Oh.
These are all plays on words. Okay. Now, all the 12 disciples have different stories like that. I'm not going to get into the rest of them.
Right.
Why he was dead for 3 days, we went over that.
Right.
Why his birthday on December 25th, we went over that. As you can see, this is all astrology. This is all that it is. It's an encoded farmer's almanac, astrotheological allegory. That's all these are.
That's it. I can see it now. Like I said, I wouldn't have thought about this.
So it doesn't stop there. It's not just random passages in the Bible that can be decoded this way. We're going to go through the entire book of Matthew to show how deep this runs. What I've done is I went back inside just so that it doesn't freak you out.
I was like, where'd it go?
What I've done is I put a zodiac wheel and I've highlighted sections so you can follow along with it.
Okay. All right. So we got the book of Matthew.
The book of Matthew. Matthew 3:2. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. I mentioned the kingdom of heaven earlier. That's Leo, where the sun belongs. Each gospel begins at one of the four major points of the zodiac and ends at one of them as well. The two solstices and the two equinoxes, when connected, form a cross. This is known as the cross of God's Son, mm-hmm. Son that he lives and dies on. Okay. Now, if you look at Leo, the closest sign to it right before it, because the kingdom of heaven is near, so it's got to be near Leo, is June 21st, which is in Cancer, which I've highlighted. Make sense?
Right. Yep, makes sense.
Okay, so go to the next one. This is the firmament. You see these connecting lines between the signs?
Mm-hmm.
This is the firmament between Cancer and Leo. It's the beginning of the kingdom. There's a saying in the Bible that says the firmament shows God's handiwork. Now, the firmament is not a dome over a flat earth, like a lot of people would believe.
Right.
Okay? These are the firmaments. Sometimes they're called firmaments. Sometimes they're called handover dates. Sometimes they're called cusps. Sometimes they're called layovers, whatever you want to call them. It's basically from one sign handing it over to another. Now, the firmaments are the dividing lines between signs. Now, the next passage, Matthew 3:4, John's clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. If we take the most famous drawing of a man, Leonardo da Vinci's Vitruvian Man, and superimpose it onto the zodiac, we can make sense of it. So go to the next slide. Cancer, being the head, is why he eats the wild honey. In Cancer, there's a star cluster called the Beehive Cluster. Bees produce honey. The head is in Cancer. You see how that works? Mm-hmm. So the mouth is in Cancer. So that's right. Why he's eating it.
That makes sense.
Okay?
Okay.
Next one. This is Gemini. A little lower on the body is the clothes made out of camel hair, or camelopardalis, which is in Gemini. So right now you have the head and the upper body so far. So keep going. Moving a little lower on the body, you get to his midsection. So see where it's Taurus, and then it points a line to his belt?
Mm-hmm.
He had the head in Cancer he was eating, the clothes in Gemini that went over his arms and his chest. Now in Taurus, this is where the belt would be. Okay? Taurus represents the bull, and the female is the cow, which is where you get the leather. Regarding the belt part, Orion's belt sits between Taurus and Gemini. Now next would be the baptism. So how are we going to go from the beginning of Leo to a water sign to signify the baptism? You would go across the zodiac. I've mentioned this before.
Right.
Cross signs, as they are known, are the signs opposite locations. For example, Aries and Libra are cross signs. This is very important. The sign's two most important signs are its neighboring sign and its cross sign. And they're always encoded this way. That's how you know they're done on purpose. If it was just one random sign talking about another one, but no, they're always talking about it. So right. Here is how you see how it makes a leap from one firmament to another. The man with the water pitcher in Aquarius is personified as John the Baptist with the water, because he's the Baptist. It's important to note, too, that John the Baptist and Jesus are always exactly 6 months apart. When you think about the fact that Jesus is born on December 25th and rises a degree a day, then that must mean that John the Baptist is born on June 24th and decreases a degree a day. This is why in John 3:30, John says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." It's also why St. John's Day is exactly 6 months to the day of the birthday of Jesus. Now, the next story is the temptation of Jesus. So we're going back to the Cancer Leo firmament of July 24th. Well, this is simple. He's tempted for 40 days. It's always 40 days or 40 right. years. But what is 40 days from July 24th? It takes you to September 2nd. That's Ooh. Right in the middle of Virgo. The lady
Which
with
was
the
yesterday.
Wheat stalk, right? Yep. Right?
Right.
The lady with the wheat stalk. This is right in the middle of Virgo. What does the devil say? Matthew 4:3. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Here we see mentions of the bread, which tells you that the Son is in Virgo. The next passage, Matthew 17:22. I did not come to abolish the law. And if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. This takes place in the firmament of Virgo and Libra. When you're at the firmament, it could be used on either side. This could be used to talk about bread, Virgo, or it could be used to talk about what it's actually talking about now, law and judgment, which is Libra. Scales of the law, who judges the sun before its descent into fall winter. Speeding this up just a little bit, Matthew 7:9-10. If your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Once again, this being the firmament between Virgo and Libra, it switches back to Virgo. So you can go to the next one. Matthew 7:15-16. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep. And can you pick grapes from the thorn bushes? The sheep are Ram and Aries, and the Ram Libra. Once again, they are opposing signs. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. The story now is from Libra to the barrier between Aquarius and Pisces, as he is right beside the lake or the two water signs. Now, I'm fully aware that in astrology, Aquarius is considered an air sign, okay?
Right.
Which is actually the water sign. However, because Aquarius has the man with the water pitcher, and there's water within the sign. It could be used to signify water too. So as it's across from Virgo, the wheat stalk, the grains, is it ironic that Jesus's next parables are the wheat in the weeds, the mustard seed, and the yeast? Moving right along, next is the fishing net parable. So now we go from Leo Virgo to Aquarius Pisces to reach Pisces, because they're talking about the fishing net parable. So go to the next one. Gemini is the sign of two men, technically twins. However, there's just a short mention of brothers in the next passage. He's just the carpenter's son, and we know Mary, his mother, and his brother, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. This ends at the firmament of Gemini Cancer. How do we know this?
There you
go. The very next story is the death of John the Baptist. Now look where it went. It went from the Gemini Cancer firmament to the Sagittarius Capricorn firmament. That's December 21st. Death comes the end of Sagittarius. Okay? So let's take a sentence which sounds like it could be biblical but isn't, that I made up. If I say to you the rulers were divided between war and love, it split the land in half, you could read that as a literal translation. Or, go to the next slide, the ruling planet of Aries is Mars, who is the god of war. The ruling planet of Libra is Venus, who is the goddess of love. There's your war and love. If you connect it like I did, right, it literally splits the land of the zodiac in half. Okay? And that's how these parables are made. Now, Matthew 14, 17, and 32, but we only have five loaves of bread and two fish. The bread and the fish are opposing signs in the zodiac. Also, Pisces is the two fish, which is why Jesus feeds the masses with two fish. This is the cross of God's sun. This is what it looks like when you cross the solstices and the equinox. It makes that red cross, okay? Right. Well, it's not red, but it makes that cross. So we're just in Virgo, and that was Libra, which is law and wine, remember? What stories do we get now? The story of the temple tax, the unforgiving debtor, divorce and marriage, and the parable of the vineyard worker, all having to do with Libra. Keep going. Then is Scorpio, the betrayer. This is where Judas betrays Jesus with the kiss. So we were just in Libra, now we're in Scorpio, and the next is Sagittarius. This is where Jesus is crucified on the cross. Okay?
Wow.
And that's the book of Matthew.
That's pretty amazing how you've put a lot of time into this. How do you break – I mean, because we still have some slides to go and we're running out of time, but how do you break this down?
No, we don't have to go into any of the other slides. That's just something that I created recently.
No, I think it's great because it definitely – I'm a very visual person, so it puts it in my head a lot easier than just
telling.
Don't
feel bad, Tony. Most people are.
Yeah, I'm a very visual person. So it actually helped for me to understand most of what you're showing me. And so what does it say about now and the future? Because these texts were written thousands of years ago, but how do we use that for today?
Well, first, you're not supposed to take the Bible literally.
Right.
I mean, the ancients would be rolling in their graves if they knew people were believing in this literally.
Right.
People had much better grasp on metaphors, similes, allegories. I mean, you saw how I just broke down the book of Matthew. Could you write something like triple entendre like that? I couldn't, and I'm
an
author.
No, I could not. For sure. But yeah, it amazes me that the insight that they had and the intellect that they had to put this on paper and know that someday that people will read the text. Well, millions
there's
of people.
There's something called chronological ethnocentrism. Have you ever heard of the term?
Right. Yes.
Chronological, for those people who don't know, chronological ethnocentrism. It's a term that basically says that because we're the furthest along in time,
right,
that we know of, that we're the furthest along in time that we know of, that we're the smartest, that our medicine is the highest, that our science is the highest, and that's just simply not true.
Right.
That's just simply not true.
Well, just because of time, we said something earlier about connecting this with Hollywood stuff.
Oh, go back.
Could we go back a little bit and just and talk about that? Just because I know.
Go back to the the PowerPoint.
Okay, hold on. Let me go back here. Bring it back. Which one do we go to?
Let me see. Wait, let me see what you're at right now.
Okay, we're right here. There you go.
Okay, let me leave that there right now.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if you see this, this is Solomon's temple. Okay?
Right.
As it was. Okay. At the bottom of the cubits. This is how size. This is how it represents.
Okay.
Okay. This is an overhead view of Solomon's temple. If you build it literally from the Bible. Do you see anything interesting about it?
Let me look. Interesting. Well, let's see. Stairs.
I'll give you a clue. It was all built right. with sex magic.
Oh, okay. You pervert. But I see it. The insertion into, yes. Okay.
There you go. So Yakin and Boaz are the testicles. This is an overhead view.
Yeah.
The porch is the base. The holy place is the shaft. The holy of holies is the heads. It's inserted. And then you have the store chambers, which is the uterus.
Got it.
Okay. And these openings right here, this is where the egg falls out of the ovary. Okay. This is literally a penis entering a vagina. It's sex magic.
Okay.
Okay. And Solomon, interestingly enough, is not a name of a king. He didn't exist. Solomon is a combination of three ancient words for the sun. Sol, which means sun in Latin. Om, which the Buddhist mm-hmm. Om.
Right.
That's the sun. And On, O-N. Okay. On was the name given to the Greek city of light, Heliopolis. That's where people went to get enlightened. It's why when you go into a bedroom, thousands of years later, you still have to turn the lights on unless to become enlightened.
Wow. And this is just explanation of
keep
it.
Keep going. Now this is, next one.
Oh, next one, all right.
Roman Catholic Catechism. This is why most people think astrology is evil. All forms of divination are to be rejected. Recourse to Satan or demons conjuring up the dead or other practices falsely supposed to unveil the future. Consulting horoscopes, astrology, palm reading, interpretation of omens and lots, the phenomena of clairvoyance, and recourse to mediums all conceal a desire for power over time, history, and in the last analysis, other human beings, as well as a wish to conciliate hidden powers. They contradict the honor, respect, and loving fear that we owe to God alone. So this is the Roman Catholic Church telling. I mean, like, wouldn't you agree at this point after my presentation that there's absolutely astrology hidden in the Bible?
Oh, for sure. And I've heard it several times before, but this gets into the most detail I've seen. So yeah, for sure.
Right. So now, why would the Roman Catholic Church, unless they knew something, tell you that astrology is evil?
Right. Because most religions tell you certain things are evil.
That's why.
Yeah. Most.
So go to the next slide, real quick.
Okay.
The Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix is the story of Christ the Sun, a flaming form of life that dies and rises. Jesus was the Sun who died for 3 days and came back to life. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's why the basketball team is named the Phoenix Suns. What about the women's Phoenix team? It would be the same thing about the story of Christ, Mary, and everything. Okay? Mm-hmm. Go down. The Phoenix Mercury. That's the women's team. Mercury is the ruling planet of Virgo, the only woman sign. So how else are things encoded in everyday life and entertainment? I'm going to give you two examples from the 90s. Okay, keep going. Face Off, the 1990s movie Face Off, starring Nicolas Cage and John Travolta. Well, what are the characters' names? Nicolas Cage's character is Castor Troy, and his brother is Pollux Troy. Remember earlier?
Uh-huh. Yes.
That's Gemini. What is Travolta? His name is Sean Archer. What's an archer? The man with the bow and the arrow. That's Sagittarius.
That would be me.
Those are opposing signs.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay.
That's
go to the next
pretty
one.
Pretty intelligent.
1990s song for a video for the Cranberry Zombie. Here, Dolores O'Riordan is painted gold like the sun, and her head dressing represents the rays of the sun, much like Jesus in the crown of thorns. But, I mean, is that what it is? Go to the next slide, which is the next scene. Look at that. Here we see the golden sun on the cross. And look, the hunters with the bow and the arrow, where the sun is killed in Sagittarius.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wow. I couldn't find a picture of it, but right before this, they were aiming the bow and arrow at her. This is what happens in Sagittarius. The sun dies on the cross. Okay, people used to watch this video and go, oh, this is interesting. You know, it's a bunch of little Cupids. They're not Cupid. This is Sagittarius. So I think that's all I have, if you want to just keep checking.
Yeah, actually, just because of time, you know, we're going to have you back just to, because we have so much more to talk about. And the presentation was great. I really appreciate you putting that together. And just we got to pop off. But how do people find out more about you? You know, get your books. I know you can go to Amazon, but is there other?
You go to Amazon. Well, I'm on Twitter at Real Mr. Dank.
Uh-huh.
I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Micah Dank. If you follow me or reach out, if you follow me or reach out to me, I will 100% reach out to you.
Perfect.
And send you my best works that I've done. I will also, I also sell autographed copies of my books from my house. If you're interested in not paying Bezos and just sending it to me directly. My book series is a fiction thriller series that my publicist is trying to currently pitch to TV producers and movie producers.
Nice.
And we're working on that right now. And that's basically it. Just reach out to me. Let me know what you thought. Let me know if you have any questions, for sure. But I hope you learned you some, Tony.
Oh, no, I did. That's one reason I kind of didn't ask as many, because I was really learning from just your presentation. And
well, you have it, so you could always refer to
it. Oh, no, now I do. I'm gonna read the whole damn thing now. but I appreciate that. And definitely have you come back. And do you have any other series you're going to be working on? Because that I know six is a lot.
I've got a seventh book in the series.
Oh, you have a seventh? Wow.
I haven't written it yet. It's the one topic I've danced around but never talked about.
Can we hint? Can we tease?
Let's say it's the third major religion.
Oh, okay. Well, it's always great to talk about religion. It's, you know, it's because it's been part of, you know, humankind pretty much from the beginning, even though it was called different things, you know, throughout mm-hmm. thousands of years.
But let me ask you a question, Tony.
Sure.
You can be honest with me.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know we have like a minute or two left. That's right. Fine. But, and you're not, I know you're not really religious. I could tell. At all, but did this stuff make sense?
No, it makes sense. Like I said, I wouldn't have thought of it myself. Reading any passages or any verses about pulling certain words and putting them in astrology itself, I would
see what I'm doing, right?
I see what you're doing, and it does make sense.
The only thing I'm using is the zodiac wheel,
right?
And the constellation. See, okay. There's 88 constellations that we know about, okay? That includes the 12 zodiacs.
Right.
However, when the Bible was written, okay, they only knew about 48 of them.
Right.
So this is the ones that we're talking about.
Right.
Okay, and you got to understand, the Saturnalia, Saturn worship and everything, Saturn used to be a lot closer to us. It was a lot closer to the visible naked eye. But yeah, no, I this is all I'm using to decode it. It's the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And that's basically what they did. They encoded the sacred information.
Because if you really think about it, you know, a lot of the passages and verses that sometimes you're like, what the hell are they talking about when you read them? And the way you're breaking it down, it's like, oh, that's a metaphor for something. Oh, it means something else. So it does make sense the way you put that together. So
I hope all your listeners feel the same way too.
Yeah, I hope so too. And, you know, people pick the books up. And if you have any comments, we'd love to hear your, you know, feedback. Yeah, you know, I always
my books are very, like, with cryptograms, anagrams, and stuff. My books are very Dan Brown. He was a big hero.
Yeah,
of mine.
I love Dan Brown. Yeah,
they're fiction thrillers, but I go like, you think I went into a lot of stuff here? It's nothing compared to the books.
Oh, I'm sure.
Where the
I'm
characters sure. discover all this and some information and figure out how they can use it.
Well, thank you so much, Micah. Please come back again, and everybody go out and get the books. We appreciate. This topic. We haven't talked about this in this much detail before, so thank you. And everybody, thank you for tuning in to Truth Be Told every Friday. Don't forget to listen to Robert Hensley, his Minuteman Report on Mondays, Bonnie Burkett on Truth Be Told Transformation on Wednesdays, and then myself on Fridays. So you can go to truthbetoldworldwide.com and find out all of our upcoming guests. We have some great guests coming up for the Halloween season. And then we have Eric Van Daneghen coming in November to talk about his brand new book. So, but until next time, I'm Tony Sweet for Truth Be Told. We'll see you guys then. Bye-bye.
This has been another episode of Truth Be Told. Thank you so much for watching. Recorded live at UBN Go Studios in Burbank, California. Join us on social media, Facebook, Truth Be Told Radio, Instagram, Truth Be Told Paranormal. Go to Truth Be Told Worldwide for more information on upcoming shows.